blind, baby. You're blind from the facts on who you are because you're watching that garbage.
I'm Janitara Begum, and I work in Operation Unite, and you're tuned to 90.7 FM WGXC. ACRA.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA with the WGXC Morning Show. Today we're going to hear about how on Friday, November 18th, several people were arrested protesting about the continued use of fossil fuels. The Extinction Rebellion of the Capital District occupied the offices of the TD Bank in Albany on November 18th. And we're going to hear the story this morning from our friends at WOOC. Plus, we're going to hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin from Troy has finished singing this song on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Controlled.
On Thursday, December 1st, there are all kinds of great bands at Tubby's in Kingston, including Anla from Reynolds from Argentina, Rump State, which includes Mark Morgan from the band Sightings, Decimus with members of the No Neck Blues Band, and Rambutan, Eric Hardiman and Michael Kafer from Albany, and Doubles from Kingston. That's all at Tubby's in Kingston. On Thursday, December 1st, go to the WGXC community calendar online for more information about this event and many others in your community.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cochrane Media of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Lisa Harris is reporting for the Times Union that New York renews a coalition of more than 300 climate, justice, and labor groups is calling for $10 billion in state spending to help meet the goals laid out in New York State's climate law. The group held rallies November 16th in Albany, New York City, Kingston, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Ithaca, and Long Island. The group is pushing for the climate, jobs, and justice legislation bills that would establish a new fund for New York's climate plan, align public service law with a transition away from fossil fuels,
eliminate fossil fuel subsidies, lay groundwork for decommissioning fossil fuel power plants, empower the New York Power Authority to build renewable energy projects, and create new oversight and accountability for all of these projects and proposals. The New York Renews Coalition helped pass the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act in 2019 to decarbonize New York State's $2 trillion economy and slash greenhouse gas emissions 85% below their 1990 levels by 2050. Environmental activists see several benefits from the plan, including energy independence from foreign fossil fuel and longer lives and less illness from fossil fuel-driven particulate pollution, which currently sickens and kills thousands of New Yorkers concentrated in low-income black and brown neighborhoods. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Kathleen Moore reports for the Times Union that every school district in the state of New York with a team name, logo, or mascot referring to Native Americans must change it by June 30th, 2023. Unless they have permission from a recognized tribe, the State Education Department said in a memo released November 17th. The announcement was emailed to all districts and made public via Twitter and is expected to force changes in dozens of New York school districts. Quote, should a district fail to affirmatively commit to replacing its Native American team name, logo, and/or imagery by the end of the 2022-2023 school year, it may be in willful violation of the Dignity Act. The penalties for such a violation include the removal of school officers and the withholding of state aid, unquote, State Deputy Education Commissioner James Baldwin wrote. The deputy commissioner commended districts that have voluntarily dropped their mascots over the years and directed others to reach out to the education department for advice on how to change their mascot. Andrea Macko writes in Porcupine Soup that the Ravenna Queeman Selkirk Central School District is still using its longtime Indian mascot. In response to the memo, the district stated, quote, our RCS community will be discussing the implications of this memo and how we proceed. We anticipate that the New York State Education Department will be distributing additional information concerning this matter, unquote. It has been more than a year since the Coxsackie Athens Board of Education voted to retire its longtime Indian mascot. The decision was controversial, with hundreds of community members and parents speaking out both in support and opposition to the change. The district ultimately rebranded itself as the Riverhawks. According to the Times Union, in the Capital Region, 12 school districts will have to change their nickname, mascot, imagery, or both. It was not clear why the announcement was made at this time, but Baldwin cited a June 22nd court decision that upheld State Education Commissioner Betty Rose's order to retire the Cambridge Central School District mascot. In that decision, acting State Supreme Court Justice Sarah McGinty cited a directive issued in 2001 by then-Commissioner of Education Richard Mills. In that memo, Mills wrote, quote, the use of Native American symbols or depictions as mascots can become a barrier to building a safe and nurturing school community and improving academic achievement for all students, unquote. He told school boards 21 years ago to, quote, end the use of Native American mascots as soon as practical, unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
William J. Kimball reports for the Daily Freeman that Saugerties Town board members are split over another go with Community Choice aggregate electricity purchasing after the failure of Columbia Utilities to maintain a contract with 10 municipalities when costs became too high. The board voted November 16, 3-2, to cover a share of the legal fee in a lawsuit in a case against Columbia Utilities. Saugerties Supervisor Fred Costello said the savings to consumers may make it worth it to go into business with the company again. Supervisor Fred Costello said, and I quote, during the period that the CCA, Community Choice Aggregate, program was in place, the estimated captured savings of the people who were a part of it was over $8 million. I find that to be a substantial number. So even though the company that was our vendor did not fulfill the balance of their contract, I think it's worthwhile for us to partner with the same group and go back into the energy market to secure a new contract for a period in the near future, end quote. The towns of Marbletown, Saugerties, New Platts, Red Hook, Clinton, and Phillipstown, the villages of New Platts and Cold Spring, and the cities of Beacon and Poughkeepsie, representing 23,000 customers, are all suing Columbia Utilities. The company had contracts with the municipalities through June 30th, 2024, but abandoned the contracts in July after the state oversight agency, New York Independent System Operator, found the provider had failed to meet creditworthiness requirements in assuring its fiscal viability. Sorgatee's board member, Zach Horton, is not sure about working with the company again. Horton said, and I quote, "A lot of residents of this town experience more difficulty with the program, and my confidence is not quite there. Contracts were approved before my appointment to the board, but I felt like the town was taken for a financial ride. My personal level of confidence is not there." End quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Robert Gavin reports for the Times Union that a gun buyback program bought 45 guns in Columbia County over the weekend. The joint effort by the offices of Attorney General Letitia James and Columbia County Sheriff Donald Kropf led to the collection of 20 handguns, 18 long guns, 6 non-working guns, and an assault weapon from the city of Hudson and surrounding areas, authorities said. In exchange for the weapons, the Attorney General's office offered prepaid gift cards. An officer received the guns unloaded on site, authorities said. James' office said her agency has recovered more than 3,700 firearms through gun buybacks and similar initiatives since she took office in 2019. Kropf, in a statement, said, quote, "The availability to drop off a firearm with no questions asked allows law enforcement to get guns off the street, get firearms that are in questionable condition turned in for destruction, and also affords the possibility of reuniting a stolen or lost firearm with the rightful owner," unquote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
On November 17th, the Greene County Public Health Department announced 4 more COVID-19 deaths. On November 14th, Greene County officials announced another COVID-19 death. And a week ago, on November 7th, Greene County reported 2 more COVID-19 deaths. This is 7 deaths in 10 days from COVID-19 in Greene County. So of 144 total deaths from COVID-19 in Greene County since the pandemic began, almost 5% have come this month. Currently, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports that community level of COVID-19 in Greene County is low.
Melanie Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that water rates in the town of Greenville are expected to rise by the end of the year. Town Supervisor Paul Macko pointed out during the October Town Board meeting that rates have not increased in many years. Quote, "We haven't had a water rate increase in the town of Greenville since 2006, unquote, Macko said. The town was advised by its bond council and auditor that their reserve funds have shrunk and that, quote, "We aren't keeping up with the times as far as building reserve funds," unquote, Macko said. Those funds are used when the town needs to replace equipment at the water filtration plant, but with insufficient funds set aside, making those repairs can be difficult. Macko said he intends to unveil potential new water rates by the board's November or December meeting. Once a new rate is proposed, a public hearing will be held before the board votes on the proposal. In other town news, the annual Old Timers Christmas party hosted by the town at the high school will likely be canceled over continued concerns over the COVID-19 pandemic. Quote, "At this juncture, I don't think we are going to be doing the Old Timers Christmas party this year at the school for the simple reason that I don't want a super spreader event, and I don't want to subject the school to having to clean the building afterwards," unquote, Macko said. The annual tradition has not been held since before the start of the coronavirus pandemic in 2020. 7 Greene County residents have died from COVID-19 this November so far. Read more about the story at theupstater.com.
Porcupine Soup reports that Donald Gibson, president and CEO of Greene County Bancorp Incorporated, announced recently that Jay Callahan was appointed chairman of the board and Tejraj Hatta was picked as board director. Callahan succeeds Paul Slutsky after he announced his retirement last year. Slutsky had served on the board of directors since 1992 and was named chairman of the Greene County Bank in 2020. Callahan is retiring as the president and CEO of Columbia Memorial Health, the local hospital. Hatta owns a Five Guys Burgers and Fries franchise. Read the full story at Porcupine Soup.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant.
Have a good day.
I'm Tom Rowan Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Monday, November 21st. We start off each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Gas Buddy website says the Mobil in Palinville has gas for $3.89 a gallon, the lowest price there. Then the air quality forecast is virtually the same as Sunday. It's a 31 in the good range. The UV index is up to a 2 from a 1 on Sunday, but still very low. Nothing to worry about. Monday, it should be sunny, good for local solar panels, according to the National Weather Service in Albany, with a high of 38 and a wind from the south, 5 to 8 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 23 miles per hour, spinning local windmills. Monday night should be clear, with a low around 26 and a south wind around 6 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 22 miles per hour. Tuesday, the prediction is for sunny skies, with a high of 42 and a low around 26, and Wednesday should also be sunny, with a high of 46 and a low around 29. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The Zelos Saxophone Quartet performs at 7:30 p.m. Friday, December 3rd at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. They're putting on a holiday concert of American masterworks ranging from William Grant Still to tangos from Astor Piazzolla. That's the Zelos Saxophone Quartet. Friday, December 3rd at the Bridge Street Theater. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Hey man, I saw your Volkswagen thing from across the street while I was getting a rhubarb smoothie. Oh yeah, these smoothies are great. They're loaded with important phytochemicals to combat the free radicals floating around in your body, causing you to make bad decisions, like buying that Volkswagen thing. Oh, good burn, man. You seem really cool. Yeah, I guess you could say I've been dulling the cutting edge for years. So I was wondering if you could tell me where the raddest swimming spots are. Me and my girlfriend Olestra burning up in this man-made heat dome. Oh, rad, man. Yeah, me and my girlfriend Topiary, we're just gonna head over there. Oh, snap, my man. What are the GPs? That's like a way of saying GPS without really saying it. Well, we could tell you the DDs, but then we would have to kill you. Oh, hilarious, Pierce Brosnan. No, seriously, we would stuff you in the trunk of our 1968 Toyota Land Cruiser, and you would probably suffocate, and then you would be unable to swim. Massive bummer. Well, would you have the 411 on a poorly ventilated pavilion with a band playing awkward versions of old Southern rock songs? My dude, I have just the spot for you. Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night at 10 p.m., only on WGXC and WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, November 21st. 89% of the way through the year, and although it may not feel like it, there are still 30 days left until winter. Local early morning temperatures range from 3 degrees in Craryville to 12 in Tannersville. Regional average soil temperature is 41. Closest recorded snowfall was 1 inch at Albany Airport and 2.5 inches in Schenectady. sub-freezing today. Technically, it gets warmer. We get a high of 40, just barely, at 3 p.m. But winds in the teens compensate, keeping it feeling a little bitter. Layer up like an onion if heading out, and watch for surface ice in places as we start doing a regular dance of above and below freezing temperatures. Overnight winds die down and we see a low of 25 degrees. Tomorrow, a high of 44 at 1 p.m., then refreezing after dark as temperatures drop to 29 degrees. Wednesday makes it up to 48 degrees, then Thursday is looking pretty similar with a high of 47 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:17 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:49 a.m. Looking way up, we see the Orion spacecraft wheel round the far side of the moon, coming 82 miles away from the satellite before executing a burn to change its orbit. Solar wind speed is currently 457 kilometers per second at 9.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair only below 15 MHz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.6, quiet. The current sunspot number is 72. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Joshua Mail of Seattle, Washington. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Name, Patty Boom. Host of Vinyl Freedom. Where? WGXC, when? Every first and third Tuesday from 12:10 to 2 p.m. What? Streaming online at wgxc.org. What? Tune in for a genre shakedown. All kinds of choice cuts of wax for you and yours to listen to. Dig it.
Support comes from support for
United Airlines. United provides
support for NPR
in cities like Boston, New York, and Washington, D.C.
Underwriting today is provided
United
by
Airlines,
Borders, Books, and Music, Jutus, Juice Bar Blend, and by Whitney Farms, producers of a complete line of
publicradio.com. United provides just another way.
National Business Radio is rising.
National Public Radio.
National Business Radio
comes from
United Airlines,
Borders, Books, and Music,
Jutus, Juice Bar Blend.
United provides just another way.
National Business Radio is rising.
Public Radio.
National Public Radio.
Nonstop Business
Radio. Dot com.
Public Radio.
Nonstop Business.
Underwriting today is provided by Inktomi and Zinktomi Scaling.
National Public Radio.
And INKTOMI.com.
National Public Radio.
National Public Radio.
Nonstop Business
Radio.com.
National Public Radio. Nonstop Business
Radio.com.
Public Radio.com.
Soil Amendments and Mulches.com.
National Public Radio.
Public Radio.
Nonstop Business
Radio.com.
Public Radio.
Well, lots of pretty good news there. Thanks, Joe. That report brought to you by
NationalBusinessRadio.com.
Since I failed.
of anything with this hole in my hand. I can't pretend that we always keep what we find. Oh yes, everybody's plates apart.
Way's Blood there. From the 2022 album End in the Darkness, Hearts Aglow, it's not just me, it's everybody.
Just me.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The gap between those who are leading and those who are being led is as wide as it's ever been.
President Joe Biden turned 80 on Sunday and is now the first octogenarian to serve as commander-in-chief. David Leventhal is editor of Business Insider, which reports that one in four members of Congress are over age 70.
When it comes to climate change and social issues, energy, the environment, technology, of course, too, are truly they getting what they want? And in the opinions of younger Americans, no, there was a lot to be desired from leadership.
Outgoing Speaker of the House, 82-year-old Nancy Pelosi, has announced she's stepping aside as Democratic leader in favor of 52-year-old Hakeem Jeffries of New York. But a new Reuters Ipsos poll found that two-thirds of Americans favor age limits for president, Senate, and Congress. Tomorrow, the Department of Justice will ask a court to end an outside review of evidence seized from former President Donald Trump's Florida estate. Trump says he's running in 2024 and claims the Mar-a-Lago search was part of a witch hunt. But Attorney General Merrick Garland says it's in the public's interest to appoint a special counsel to oversee criminal investigations of Trump related to the January 6 attack.
The special counsel will also conduct the investigation involving classified documents and other presidential records, as well as the possible obstruction of that investigation.
House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is restating his threat to remove several top House Democrats from committee assignments should the Republican become the next speaker.
As being speaker, they don't hand gavels out by size, small, medium, and large. They just give you one gavel with the power and the power of subpoena as well. And we're going to use it.
McCarthy is targeting Minnesota progressive Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's post on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, accusing her of anti-Semitism, which she denies. He also plans to kick two California Democrats off of the House Intelligence Committee, a move Democrats describe as revenge for investigations of January 6 and Trump's possible ties to Russia. President Biden is again calling for an assault weapons ban after an AR-15 was used in a mass shooting at an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs. At least five people were killed and more than two dozen injured in Saturday's attack. Police Chief Adrian Vasquez says it will be investigated as a hate crime.
Club Q is a safe haven for our LGBTQ citizens. Every citizen has the right to feel safe and secure in our city, to go about our beautiful city without fear of being harmed or treated poorly. I'm so terribly saddened and heartbroken.
Officials are praising brave individuals, they say, subdued the gunman who is in custody. UN climate talks in Egypt have closed on a note of unity, a landmark deal to compensate developing nations for climate harm. But observers are criticizing its lack of binding detail. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eTrust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're zooming in on Bucks County, Pennsylvania, where the initial margin in a race for Pennsylvania's 142nd State House District was just 53 votes. But this wasn't just any race. This was a race which would determine the control of the Pennsylvania legislature. In October, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to rule on whether undated absentee ballots could be counted, something which the Pennsylvania courts had waffled on earlier this year. Then, on November 1st, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled that absentee ballots which were otherwise valid but had no date could not be counted. As of November 10th, 15,449 votes had been tallied for Republican Joseph Hogan and 15,396 votes for Democrat Mark Moffa, a 53-vote margin. But thanks to the courts, 215 absentee ballots were rejected for not being dated. Warminster Patch and the Bucks County Courier-Times report that an additional 79 ballots were rejected for being unsigned or having no signature and date. 942 other ballots were rejected for other reasons, such as missing secrecy envelopes, invalid provisional ballots, and other election rules. As of this report, 51 ballots were still being researched. But on November 17th, Republican Joseph Hogan was declared the winner by the county commission with help from the courts. We have links to articles and resources at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Bury the keys
Brooklyn's Chris Lee on the radio at WGXC with Bury the Kings. Horse Lords there with Zero Degree Machine from their 2022 album Comradely Objects on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Creative Community Radio. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
On Friday, November 18th, several dozen people with Extinction Rebellion protested at the TD Bank on Eagle Street in Albany, crossing the Capitol, as part of the ongoing campaign to stop to finance and buy banks of fossil fuels. Five people ended up being arrested. We hear from three of them. Our lineup, Pete Looker, Linda Latondra arrested, Elliot Adams, and Danson Leaf both arrested, and then follow up with Matt Oil, the main organizer for the event. So Extinction Rebellion organized a protest at TD Bank on Friday to protest their financing of fossil fuels. One of the people involved in the protest was Pete Looker. Pete, why are you here today?
Well, I've been following TD Bank. They were, from a long time ago, they were funding the Keystone Pipeline, and they're funding these other pipelines still today. And building an infrastructure for the next 50 years for fossil fuels is really fossil foolish. So we're asking them to stop doing that. It's crazy.
And why are you willing to risk arrest for this particular event?
Well, it's a small price to pay for what we're doing for the kids' future.
And how do you feel overall we're doing in terms of taking action to prevent, climate collapse?
I think the people and the young people who came here to support are moving on. I think the politicians and the corporate leaders are not doing anything seriously. We need to be pushed.
Thank you, Pete Looker. We talked next to Elliot Adams, one of the longtime leaders nationally, I believe, of Veterans for Peace. Elliot, why are you out here protesting today?
Well, to start with, the environment is absolutely critical. We need to get serious about ending the global climate change. In particular, right now, we're talking to one of the banks. TD Bank is supporting and funding the global climate change. We need to stop that.
Now, of course, right now we're meeting in Egypt for COP27. Do you think the world governments are taking adequate action to avoid climate collapse?
No, it's absurd. Biden is saying we need to deal with global climate change. Meanwhile, is supporting the war, the proxy war in Ukraine. It's plain and simple. Stop the war in Ukraine. It's not going to do any good. And it is an appalling environmental disaster. We need to be serious. And we have the money we've spent in Ukraine is tiny compared to the money that we have committed but have not spent on global climate change. The big issue is global climate change. We need the government to put that first and foremost on their agenda, is fix the climate.
So if you happen to run into the head of TD Bank or any of the other banks like Chase, what would you say to them about why they should be stopped financing fossil fuel?
Well, there's two approaches. One approach is the approach of, from the point of view of the world, we need to end the global climate change. We have to stop financing fossil fuel infrastructure. We need to finance renewable resources. From the point of view of the bank, they need to get on board. They're supporting a dinosaur industry. They're supporting and therefore becoming a dinosaur themselves. They need to get out to the forefront of what the future is.
And why are you willing to risk arrest for this particular protest?
Well, we need to do what we have to do. I said that Biden should get out. It should just hurry up and get out of the proxy war in Ukraine. I need to do what I have to do. I need to do something. I can't sit home and ignore the problem and complain about other people. I need to take whatever action I can take.
Thank you, Elliot. We next catch up with Linda Letarin,
who is up in Saratoga, and she's dressed as a skeleton, I believe, today. So Linda, what is your costume about?
My costume is about the climate change is going to kill all of us. And I have a sign here. It says, I thought climate change was a hoax, and it's to get people to realize that this is really serious. We're going to die, all of us on this planet, if we don't figure this out and fix it. Die sooner than we want to. Yeah.
So why protest at a bank?
Because they're helping to fund the climate chaos with the oil companies and the plastic companies and all. There, nothing happens without money behind it.
So one of my unfortunate things is I'm now joining you in terms of who my congressional representative is, Elise Stefanik. If you happen to run into Elise, you have any message for her as our representative in Congress?
I'm very fortunate. Paul Tonko is my representative in the city of Saratoga Springs, so thank you, Jesus, or whoever. My message to Elise Stefanik is that if you don't care about yourself, at least care about your young son, because he's going to need a place to live, and there is no Planet B.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay.
So one of our next people is Danson Leaf, and she's going to have a statement she'll be reading today as part of the protest. So what is it?
Yeah, so talking to TD Bank, we're going to TD Bank, and TD is a climate criminal, and we call them out. TD loves to present a green image, from tree planting to committing to net zero financed emissions by 2050, yet TD Bank has yet to turn these words into actions and continues to be the second largest financier of fossil fuel expansion projects in Canada. As of July 2022, TD does not manage any fossil-free investment products in-house. TD Bank funds the expansion of fossil fuel infrastructure to the to the tune of U.S. dollars of $103.4 billion from 2016 to 2019, and they also fund the tar sands for the same amount for $22 billion the same time. TD Bank is a climate criminal. At ground zero, the First Nation treaties 1, 4, 6, 7, 8, and 11 states that the lands of First Nations cannot be compromised by uncontrolled development or threaten First Nations culture and traditional way of life. Until recently, the community of the Fort Chippewyan relied on 80% subsistence diet. But now, pollution, boreal forest and ecosystem loss, and habitat fragmentation is a direct threat to their survival, living to all the Native American peoples living within the tar sands environment. These people are considered expendable by TD Bank. Each barrel of oil from surface mining requires 2 to 4 barrels of fresh water and produces about 1.5 barrels of toxic waste. Each day, 11 million liters of waste leaks into the Athabasca River, approximately 4 billion liters of contamination each year. At current production rates, 13 football fields of pristine boreal forest is lost each day. TD Bank is doing this. They are funding this. It presents itself as an environmentally friendly company, yet they do not offer even the simplest of green investment products to their customers. They fund hundreds of millions of dollars in climate-damaging fossil fuel development annually. As a direct result, water is poisoned, as well as the fish it holds, the animals that drink there, and the humans who depend on all that ecosystem. You directly fund the destruction of Canada's boreal forest, and with that, the caribou and native people, through the spread of cancer and toxin-laden fish and water are threatened. TD Bank is a climate criminal. We call you out, you greenwashing monsters. Your pledge means only harm. Stop funding tar sands and start acting like human beings.
Thank you, Danson Leaf. Our final speaker is Matt Oil, who's one of the lead organizers with Extinction Rebellion. So, Matt, why is XR targeting TD Bank today?
Well, in the last 5 years, TD Bank has invested about $121 billion into fossil fuel projects. And they have direct ties with the construction of the Trans Mountain Pipeline and Line 3. And as has been probably said in the various people have already spoken, the climate crisis is getting worse and worse every day. You know, the IPCC has warned numerous times that we have to act now before it is too late. In fact, the UN general just said as part of COP27 that we could start to see food shortages as early as next year. And, you know, the global south is already suffering, and we're in for a rough time if we do nothing, and we can't just keep going on as if nothing is happening. And our leaders have made it clear that they're not going to act on their own will, so we have to rise up and we have to force them to do it for the sake of literally all life on Earth.
And why does XR decide that civil disobedience is an appropriate tactic to fight the climate change issue?
Well, for starters, it's, you know, it has a long history of working with, like, Dr. King, Gandhi, the suffragette movement, the anti-war movement during Vietnam, etc. And we have tried literally everything, petitioning, green rallies, voting, writing to our elected officials, and nothing has worked to get the change that we need. And civil disobedience is a way to force them to listen to you. And at this point, I think it's too late for anything but that.
Thank you, Matt Oil. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.